What's up, everybody? Panos here from Puck Empire, and I'm joined by Taryn, Joe, and Kevin. And this past week in the NHL has had a lot of things. It's had scandals, trades, some big trade requests, kind of, and you know, some big signings in the RFA world as well, including Matthew Tkachuk, who has notified the Calgary Flames that he will not be signing a long-term extension with Calgary. You guys are both Calgary fans. What do you guys have to say about this?
Kevin, I'll let you go first.
You want me to go first about Tkachuk? Okay. Yeah. I think he'll end up going to New Jersey. I know they had interest in him at the draft. Yeah. I think this is a move that Calgary obviously needs to make with him not signing long term. Just to add to that point, I guess, if I can think. Yeah, so this trade is absolutely, it's very important for Calgary because this kind of sets the tone of, for the future of their franchise, right? So, like, are you targeting a really good top six player like Jordan Kyrou? Are you targeting, like, an A-plus prospect like, I don't know, I guess I'll throw in Simone Nemeth's name in there because the second overall pick was offered. Obviously, they're not going to trade him for him, but just an example. So my point is, it really sets the tone of how you're going to build in the future. And in my opinion, they need to rebuild. So they got to recoup draft capital. They got to get back young prospects and start a full scale rebuild. Joe, what do you think?
Yeah. A lot of people were caught off guard. Personally, it didn't really catch me off guard because I did have a feeling this was going to happen after Johnny Gaudreau left for Columbus. I think that did start the domino effect a little bit. But if you go back 6 years from when Matthew Tkachuk was drafted by the Flames, I think there were those doubts there as Keith Tkachuk, his dad, we all know how big of a factor he was in his re-signing back in 2019. Obviously being a former NHL player, you know the ins and outs of contract negotiations and how the league works. So for Keith Tkachuk, I think people were just doubting that he's going to go back to St. Louis because at that point, Keith Tkachuk had already established a position with the St. Louis Blues. He's a player recruitment person, I think, or something like that. I've no clue. I forget the term. But that's where I think it did start from. Obviously, who wouldn't want to play in their hometown? If you grow up there and you see your dad play there, obviously you want to put that same jersey on. But the thing that kind of catches me off guard is how can you do that to a team that drafted you and pretty much gave you everything? And they were willing to give you more than enough to keep you in Calgary. Obviously, being a Flames fan, it does kind of get a little emotional. You kind of get off the guard a little bit. But I do think the Flames will be in a better position after this trade, depending on what they do. We all know what Brad Treliving can do and has done in trades in the past. You can look at the Elias Lindholm trade, even though that was not for futures. This one certainly is a trade that should be established around futures, but knowing this organization and the ownership group, I don't think they'll be rebuilding anytime soon. And the only future pieces that they will get is a first-round draft pick, hopefully, and a prospect. So hopefully, whichever route the Flames go, whichever team gets Matthew Tkachuk, hopefully it's a good package for the Flames. Panos, let's see what you have to say as the neutral party to this whole Tkachuk saga.
Yeah, obviously you guys know more than I do since you guys are, you know, pure Flame fans. And I'm just an NHL fan. But yeah, as you said, like right from the draft, honestly, there was always concerns about if Matthew Tkachuk would stay in Calgary long term because he's an American guy. He went to he played college hockey, I believe, didn't he? Or no? Actually, I don't know. I think
No. He played with the London Knights. Yep.
Yeah. But he grew up in St. Louis, as you said. He grew up in America. He's one of those American guys. Keith Tkachuk, as you said, also had a big factor in his bridge deal extension of 3 years back in 2019. So I think we all kind of knew he wouldn't be staying in Calgary past like 27. as you said, I don't think Calgary's going to rebuild either. I don't think they're going to go that way, especially with Daryl Sutter as their coach. You just kind of can't rebuild when you have him, and his contract expires in a year and two as well. You don't really want to rebuild with him as your coach. I think that they will get some futures for Tkachuk, obviously. They're probably going to get a first-round pick, probably going to get like a top prospect. But I also think instead of just stacking up all the prospects in the trade, they're probably going to go for a top prospect, a first-round pick, and then like a solid NHL-level player, like a top six forward or like a top defenseman, something like that for Tkachuk. And I've seen some – obviously, we have that Joe in the group chat.
Shout out to him.
Yeah, shout out to Joe. He thinks he's going to Toronto. I don't think he's staying in Canada. I don't think he's come back to Canada. He's
not.
He wants to go to America. I think he's going to end up in Nashville or Dallas, one of those two teams. Both of them have like older GMs who probably want to make one last run as a GM before they like move up to higher level or before they retire. Because David Poile and Jim Neal are both probably gone in a few years. So they both probably want to make a big run, and adding a guy like Matthew Tkachuk, although he has had his playoff, you know, his playoff woes, he's still a really, really good player who had 105 points this season, something like that. So yeah, I think he will be traded this offseason. I think he's going to go to one of those two teams, and I think that Calgary will probably not full on rebuild, but they're going to get solid future pieces for him.
Going to have an insufferably mid future.
Yeah, I know Kevin wants the Flames to go into rebuild. I know more than half of Flames Twitter wants that as well.
You know how much assets they could get back? Sell Mangiapane.
Yeah,
sell
that's Toffoli, true.
Sell Hanifin. Sell Markstrom. Yeah. Sell Anderson. Sell literally everybody. You could get so many assets. It's just insane. Like, you don't have a star player, you're not going to win anything. You're not going to get past McKinnon. You're not going to get past McDavid. It's just, you're not going to get past Jack Eichel.
Yeah, it's just like,
now's a great time to rebuild. The window's over.
Yeah. You look at the Pacific Division as well, like, now that Tkachuk's gone, almost every team in that division, apart from maybe San Jose, has a star. Like Anaheim, they have their young stars. LA has their young stars as well, and then some of their veteran guys. Even if you look at Vancouver, you can count Pedersen and Hughes and Demko and net. McDavid, obviously, and then Jack Eichel and Mark Stone in Vegas. And then now the Kraken with up-and-coming stars as well. The Flames aren't in that position where even if you look at their prospect pool, it is laughable compared to the rest of the Pacific Division. Obviously, some teams that are good teams, they don't really need the prospect pool, like obviously the Oilers and then obviously Vegas. But I honestly, I'm in the boat of rebuild, but from everything I've heard for the Flames and even covering the Flames for this long, everyone knows that this team's not going to rebuild anytime soon. If they do have a feeling that, it is time, it'll happen probably after next year, because Daryl Sutter is going to be gone by then. Brad Treliving is maybe going to be gone by then as well. His contract does expire, I believe. I think it's two seasons, but they're better off just letting him go. Ending the chapter right there with Brad Treliving. So they should rebuild, but this year I don't think they will.
Yeah, and as you mentioned with the star players, I think Vancouver will have a way better year. I think Pedersen's going to go back to how it was before. They have a full year with Bruce Boudreau. They're going to be good.
Yeah, like even the Pacific is a weird division, but it's not as weak as other people around the league make it out to be, but exactly. It's going to be much more competitive this year than I believe it has been in the past. So the Flames are in a tough position, and I know they will squeak into the playoffs somehow.
Wild card two.
Yeah, wild card.
There you go.
Yeah, there's Kevin's prediction, but honestly, I don't have much hope going forward. But even if, like, just on this topic, like, Americans leaving Canada, like just the Flames alone, like you saw Gaudreau leaving and now Tkachuk. We obviously saw people doubting that, Austin Matthews going to leave Toronto in two more years? Obviously, Frank Saravelli shut that down on Tim and Friends and multiple other radio shows. So let's see how you guys feel. Panos, I'll let you start it off. I know how you feel.
Yeah, you know, I don't think he's going to end up leaving Toronto. I think he kind of knows, like, he's going to be a star there. He's going to be the best player of all time on that team's franchise, I mean. Like, the best Toronto Maple Leaf to ever play hockey. It's kind of fun just to speculate, though, imagining him going to, like, a team on the West Coast, like LA or, like, Anaheim. Like, people have said Arizona. Like, he's never going to do Arizona or Anaheim, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. It would just be cool just to see those franchises get a guy like Austin Matthews. I think if he does end up leaving, it would be to either LA or New York City. One of those two teams. But I don't think he's going to leave. I think he's going to end up getting like 15 mil on an 8-year deal from Toronto. That's $120 million deal. Like, how do you shut that down? 120 mil plus all the advertisement money he's going to get from Toronto media, like all the sponsor money he's going to get. He's going to get like a big signing bonus too. Like, it's going to be nuts what he gets from Toronto. And I don't think he's going to leave to go on the West Coast. He'll probably go back to Arizona or somewhere close to that at the end of his career when he's like old and not as good, but he's not going to do that in the prime of his career.
Yeah. What about you, Kevin?
100% agree with Panos there. Obviously I think we can all agree that when he signs his next contract, it's going to make him the highest paid player in the NHL. At that time. So I see no reason why he would want to leave or why he should leave. It doesn't really make sense to me. So I 100% agree with everything Pano said there.
Yeah, like, not to keep like bashing the Flames or just talking about the Flames continually, but I know a lot of Flames fans are like, why us? Like, obviously it was Adam Fox a few years ago, and then now it's Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk. So I don't really think Americans leaving Canada is that big as like Canadian media makes it out to be. But obviously there is that side that players do want to play in their hometown. Obviously, who wouldn't want to do that? But I think it's not as big of an issue as people make it out to be. It's just one instance that it happened in one offseason with two star players. So I don't think Matthews is leaving Canada. So yeah, he's staying in Toronto.
I also think you can't compare Toronto to the other Canadian markets.
Exactly.
How big Toronto is, right? Like it's a massive market compared to like anywhere in Alberta or like Winnipeg. Like it's two different markets, basically. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like even if you want to include Montreal, like two of the biggest markets in Canada that are most appealing to younger NHL players are definitely Vancouver and Toronto, just based on livability. And we'll get into that later. So, yeah, that's the whole Matthew Tkachuk saga. But just to take it off the tracks a bit, obviously the NHL and the whole hockey world has been shocked by the recent Hockey Canada discoveries by Rick Westhead, who's an amazing journalist, by the way. Kudos to him for doing all of the legwork for stuff like this. So if some people may not know, the Hockey Canada has been caught in now two scandals, maybe even more coming down the road. Some sexual assault cases, one on the 2018 World Juniors team, and now today, as we're recording the podcast, it came down that the 2003 World Junior Championship team was also caught up in a scandal that, honestly, Hockey Canada is a whole debacle right now. I think they should burn it down to the ground. Not really like the organization, but everybody from top down should be let go that knew about stuff like this. So hockey culture needs to change. It starts from the top, and it needs to change. Enough is enough. And yeah, if you guys want to weigh in on this, I'll let you guys do it, but it's okay. We can probably move on.
Yeah, I'll just second that shout out to Rick Westhead. He's doing a fantastic job, trying to hold these guys accountable. So
yeah,
definitely appreciate all of his work, and completely agree with you. Everything needs to be burned top down. Rebuild Hockey Canada, because this is just, it's plain disgusting.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Panos, if you want to weigh in?
Yeah, shout out to Rick Westhead, as you guys said, and Katie Strang, I think, from The Athletic. Those two are really good with the stories in the hockey world that aren't about like the on-ice stuff. They're both really good with that. I don't really have much hope for the you know, getting the closure, seeing what players were actually involved in both the 2003 and the 2018 one. I don't know if we're going to get that closure and we're going to get like players getting suspended and stuff. I hope, you know, we do and we find out what happened. But, you know, the way hockey culture is, as you guys said, and the way Hockey Canada especially is, I'm not sure if we're going to ever find out the players' names, even though people have been trying to kind of narrow it down. But yeah, I definitely agree. Hockey Canada as a as an organization has to probably be rebuilt from the ground and up.
Yeah, hockey culture needs to change and enough is enough. So just moving on from that tough topic, obviously we don't want to take that away from anything at all. But obviously now that the off season is fully underway, some big names are still there. As we recorded last week, we thought that John Klingberg and maybe Nazem Kadri were come off the board, but none of them are signing with any team yet. So there were some RFA signings, most notably Patrick Laine today signed a 4-year extension worth $8.7 million a year. So let's see how you guys want to weigh in on that. All that, whoever wants to talk first, go with it.
Yeah, sorry, I'm actually like, I have a strong opinion on this. It is an absolute overpay. I'm not hearing anybody out. I think it's a complete overpay. And all I'm saying is that people have to stop. They need to stop saying he will get 50 goals with Goudreau. That is not happening. I will die on that hill. He's not scoring 50 goals with Goudreau. Hell, I don't even think he'll score 40 goals with Goudreau. That's my hot take. So I want to stop seeing those takes that he's going to be so good with Johnny Goudreau. It's not happening. You can come back in April or May, whatever it is, and call me stupid if he does. I don't care. But right now, I firmly believe he's not scoring 40 or 50 goals with Goudreau. If you look at his past numbers, like advanced stats, they're not even that good. Obviously, he's a pure sniper, so he's obviously going to outperform his advanced stats and still score goals. But they're just not great. Like, I don't have that much hope that he will be that good with Goudreau to get 40 or 50 goals even. People will say, oh, he was with Boone Jenner last year. He made Boone Jenner worse. Like, if you look at the expected goals for percentage, okay, people are going to be calling me calculator Borat. I don't care.
Jay Fresh Hockey fanboy. So now, Panos, I'll let you dive into that. Obviously,
I hate to do it, but I disagree with both of you. I can't lie. I'm a big fan of the Laine signing. I guess at 8.7, it's a little bit of an overpay, and I also don't like it for Columbus to do a bridge deal because it leads him to 28 years old in his prime right to UFA. But, I mean, that's what you have to do at this point. I think that, you know, Laine was on pace for a full season. If he played a full season last year, he was on pace for 38 goals. He only played 56 games, so he had 26 goals. And I think playing with a guy like Johnny Goudreau, and even if he's not on the same line with him, if he's on the power play unit, I still think that's going to inflate his goals a bit.
I don't think so. I'll explain why, but you can keep going for a sec here.
All right, yeah. I saw what you said in the group chat.
So. Yeah.
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 But yeah, I just think that Laine is, you know, he's kind of been forgotten about as how talented he is with his goal scoring because of the fact, like, he hasn't done anything goal scoring wise since the 2017-2018 season. Like, he hasn't had more than 30 goals in a season since that season. But I think he hasn't really played with anyone to kind of help him out in that aspect also. So I think I like that signing. I think that he's going to be good. I don't think that – I saw some people saying, like, Bjorkstrand is better than Laine. Like, I'm a massive Bjorkstrand fan, but like, I'm not so sure about that. I think that Bjorkstrand has kind of already hit his ceiling at where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like Laine is probably at like 50% of his potential right now, right? Like, I don't think 26 goals a season is max Laine potential, considering he had 44 goals in his second NHL year, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Kevin, I'll let you touch on the point that you made in a group chat earlier.
Yeah, so the power play, people are saying that Goudreau will help Laine a lot on the power play, and maybe I'm just not sure because watching the Flames, we never had that distinct, like, right-handed one-timer guy.
Yeah.
The power play was very dynamic with Goudreau on his strong side and Lindholm on his strong side, which would be the right side, and Goudreau didn't really set up people for one-timers, if I remember correctly. So yeah. I think he's going to have to adjust a little bit playing on that offside with Line A obviously being on his offside and opening up for one-timers. But I don't think it'll work out as well as people are saying it's going to. And even 5-on-5, I think just Goudreau, Tkachuk, and Lindholm, they're such a unique line. Like, they fit so well with each other. So I don't think Goudreau and Line A will be that good because you're missing the Tkachuk on that line. If that makes sense. I feel like all three players on that line are going to regress. Yeah. And obviously, focusing on Goudreau, he's going to regress without those two players. So in turn, that won't make Line A that much better, if that makes sense, or if I'm just talking down my ass. But I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I threw you off, but
yeah.
Like, obviously, it's not going to make him score less goals. Obviously, I think
he'll get
around 30-something goals. But, like, maybe even 40. Who knows? But I just don't think
we'll see 40, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's getting 50. I don't think he's reaching that plateau.
No, me neither.
I just think Goudreau's going to go back to, like, an 80-ish 70, point guy.
Yeah.
Not 70. 70's too harsh. I'll say 80-ish point guy. And obviously, he made Lindholm score 40 goals, but that's with a 115-point season. So if you can kind of visualize my point, if he goes from 115 points to 80 points, how many of those are Line going to get? Will it be 40 like Lindholm, or will it be less? I think what I'm saying makes sense. Maybe I'm not communicating it properly, but I just think that duo won't be as good as people.
But I also think it's not only going to rely on Goudreau, because they've got Kent Johnson, who's probably going to play a full season.
I'm not that impressed with Kent Johnson to be their center. Really? Come on. No.
You don't like Kent Johnson?
He's not my favorite. He doesn't make those, like, high-quality passes when I watched him last. Obviously, it's been a year, so I don't know how he's developed. But last time I watched him, I wasn't that impressed. I don't think that's going to make that line that much better. It's just maybe my standards are too high, but I'm just not impressed with Kent Johnson centering that line.
I'm a big Kent Johnson guy, I can't lie. Well, what if it's Sillinger, though? Sillinger's solid.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just you look at Tkachuk and he's just so unique. Like one of the best board players in the NHL. You look at Lindholm, he's one of the best at getting open in the slot. And you have Goudreau, who's awesome playmaker. So I feel like I'm just intrigued to see how it'll go with those three split apart. I think, like I said, I think Goudreau's going back to an 80-point guy.
Yeah.
And Tkachuk will go back to also like 70-point guy. I think Lindholm's going back to a 50-point guy. my thoughts are all over the place, so I apologize. But my point is that I'm not that impressed with that first line Columbus has.
Like you brought it up, that trio, and then obviously like Lindholm getting 40 goals. It brings me back to my boy Sean Monahan. If I haven't mentioned it before, he's my favorite player. He still is. Hopefully he bounces back, but I don't think that's going to happen. Hopefully, fingers crossed. But if you bring it back to the like 2018-19, for example, how great that year was with both of those guys, and then Lindholm as well. Monahan is a pure sniper. Well, I wouldn't really say pure sniper, but he is a sniper.
At the time,
yeah. Like, and now you look at Line A as well. I think Line A is a right-handed player, so I think that is kind of different compared to Sean Monahan. But if you look at that example of Johnny Gaudreau working with a sniper and feeding him for all those years that he did with Sean Monahan, I think it will work with Line A, but it's just a matter of how that fit will work for Johnny Gaudreau and how other players on that Columbus team will complement him, because he can't, like, obviously his size does bring a factor. Obviously, I'm not going to go like he sucks for being a small player, but when you're getting the pucks in the corners, obviously who's going to do that? I know Patrick Laine is not. So who's that player that's going to complement them? I can't think of a name right now, because I don't know. I don't know much about the Columbus roster. I'd have to look at that. But right now, I don't know that one player that can complement both of those guys without sacrificing the combo of the both. So I think it will work. Like, you brought that into my memory. So
yeah. I have a counter argument to that, actually. Yeah. Sean Monahan, he was a net front player, not net front, but like a slot. He got to the net, stuff like that. I think that's a reason why he
tapping merchant, as people called him.
I think that's why he had such a tough time with injuries, because he's been in the slot. So if I remember correctly, someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think Laine gets into those net front positions, right? So
yeah,
it's going to be a very different look for Gaudreau. Because even if you look at Lindholm, lots of Lindholm's goals were from the slot and right side. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Like, that's why I'm still questioning that duo with Laine, because like, how is Laine going to play? Like, Panos, what do you think? Like, if you want to add to that.
Wait, yeah, how do you feel on Patrick Laine and like the whole, because like I brought up the Sean Monahan thing.
Yeah. So, and my counter argument to the Sean Monahan thing is that he's more of a net front player, slot player than Laine, which is why I'm not convinced that Gaudreau and Laine will be a great.
Yeah. Deal. Yeah. That makes sense. Because Laine is not a guy who's going to, you know, be all and get to the net and play physical, right? He's kind of like, even though he's got the size to do, he could easily do it. He has the size to do it. Like, he's like 6'5" and like over 200 pounds. It's massive. But it's just like, he's not gonna do that stuff. But I still think Gaudreau and Laine are gonna be good together. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just think Goudreau's hands and Laine's shot, he has one of the best shots in the league if he's open.
Yeah, but like, I don't watch Laine that much, so maybe you can provide insight on this. But is he good at getting open like Monahan and Lindholm?
Yeah.
That's the thing like I'm getting at here. Like,
when he wants to be, it's like he's one of those players.
So when does he want to be? Like, that's the thing. You think? I don't know. It's just too inconsistent for me to be convinced.
We're getting off the tracks a bit.
We'll move on. I think it was a good discussion. Yeah. It was a good discussion.
Yeah, it really was. Obviously, not just keeping on the Laine train. There are obviously other signings as well. Today, as we record the podcast earlier, Pierre-Luc Dubois signed. He took his qualifying offer, 1 year, $6 million with the Winnipeg Jets. This is going to walk him right into free agency, and I think that's what he wants. Do we, like, Panos? I'm not sure if you heard anything about it, but did you still hear some chatter about the Montreal trade at all, or is that just gone now?
Well, I think the reason he signed it today is because the deadline for the qualifying offer to take it was 5 p.m. So he just wanted to take that just instead of going to arbitration. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There still could be a trade this offseason, but I think everyone kind of knows at this point that Dubois, he's not a UFA in 2023, but he is in 2024. And I think everyone knows, like, by 2024, he's not going to be a Winnipeg Jet. And I wouldn't say it's a guarantee he's going to Montreal, because it takes two sides to, like, make a deal. Montreal might not even want him. By 2024, but yeah, I think everyone kind of knows at this point he's not going to stay in Winnipeg, right?
Yeah, like, even with that rumor that we saw where he was in Montreal waiting to get his trade announced at the draft, so I don't really know how much depth I can put into that, but I'll take it with a grain of salt. So Kevin, how do you feel about him just taking his qualifying offer? Is it something that Winnipeg fans and their organization like, or I mean, obviously they don't like it, but is it something that helps them in the long run? Obviously not. So how do you feel?
We all know he's not going to be a Winnipeg Jet by 2024, as Pano said, but if you're Montreal, does it make sense to trade for him right now? Because I don't think it does. He's not fitting in their timeline at all for now. So why not just wait 2 years, see if you need him by then? He'll fit in your timeline in 2024, maybe. So I think they should just wait to pull any triggers on that. But yeah, that doesn't look good for Winnipeg. So hopefully they can, for their sake, they can trade him and recoup some assets.
Yeah, that was a great point you made about fitting Montreal's timeline. So in 2 years' time, I think they will, like, if they don't want to trade for him now, which they shouldn't, and as you pointed out, I think in 2024, by that time, hopefully their rebuild is pretty much over with. So that's just the whole Pierre-Luc Dubois thing. Don't have much to add there. But there was obviously another RFA signing, Josh Norris with the Ottawa Senators, 8-year extension worth $7.95 million per year. So, Panos, how did you feel about that deal?
Well, at first I didn't even process how much they paid him. I was at Tim Hortons. I was sitting at Tim Hortons and I was ordering food when the signing came in. So I just kind of like shrugged it off while I made the post. And then I realized, I was like, wait a second. They just gave him like eight mil for 8 years. He's not worth that right now. I don't know if he will be worth that, but he's not a bad player. And, you know, he's young still too. And Ottawa's building their forward core and stuff. So I don't hate it. It's just like, yeah, he's not worth 8 mil. Mm-hmm. I would have thought like maybe like a 6 million AAV or 7 mil, but all these RFAs are getting paid right now. Like, I feel like every RFA is getting massively paid this offseason.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. What about you, Kevin? How do you feel about that?
I also think it's a overpayment as well, a little bit, like just as like the same as the Line A one, but obviously with both those players, they can both pot you like 35 goals, eh? So, obviously in that sense, it's a fine extension. I think in Ottawa's case, it kind of evens out since Batherson is on such a good deal. So they have a little bit of room to overpay a star player there. Well, for their team. So yeah, that's kind of what I think about that.
Yeah, agreed. Like everyone, it caught everyone off guard, not really Sens fans, as they do have that bias there. Some of them probably did think it's overpayment. Some of them were like, okay, it's fine. But a lot of NHL fans on the outside looking in were like, what the hell? Like, how is he getting paid this much? But I think in the long run, I think it will pay out, hopefully, for in a Sens fan's case and for their organization. So yeah, that's Josh Norris. And
yeah, and sorry, just to add, to be honest, like, I'd only say he's overpaid by like maybe like a million, maybe a little more.
Yeah.
But like, there's no problem with overpaying like young RFAs like a million more. It's fine. They're part of your future, eh? So obviously a little bit of an overpayment there, but I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, in the long run, yeah. Especially signing him to that 8-year extension. So there were also three other signings. We won't get into them as much. There was obviously Kasperi Kapanen re-upping with Pittsburgh Penguins, a 2-year extension worth $3.2 million per year. And then there was Pierre Engvall. Obviously, we know the Toronto cap situation currently. It's kind of dilly-dally as they have to sign Rasmus Sandin as well. So they signed Engvall to a 1-year extension worth $2.25 million per year. 1 year. And then Luke Cunning, he was recently traded to the San Jose Sharks. He re-upped for 2 years worth $2.75 million. You guys can choose one name out of that list. I'll let you guys can weigh in on one of those names.
All right, I guess I'll talk about Cap, since I covered his last, or 2020, I covered the Penguins. And
you're his biggest fan, right?
Yeah. He has a lot of skill, but he's one of those guys who have all the skill and like no heart. It seems like he's just kind of fine with collecting his paycheck. I would have traded his rights, but I mean, they had to kind of sign him before they went to arbitration. That's all I really have to say. I'm not a big fan of it. I don't like how they overpaid for Jeff Carter either. For the extension a few months ago and now Kapanen, and those are the two most overrated Penguins in my opinion. So I don't like it. Yeah, we'll see if they can end up trading him. Because I don't think Hextall or Sullivan are big fans of him either.
Kevin, which Engvall or Cunning? Let's see.
Actually, I'm going to go off the board here because I don't think this pod has talked about how Mikhail Sergachev has got Makar money.
I don't think
we've touched on that in any episodes.
I just want to
like throw that out. Like, how and why? Right? Like, what the hell is that deal? You could get someone that's similar to Sergachev for like at least like 2 or 3 mil less. So if any of you guys want to weigh in on that, go ahead.
Signed that contract on free agency day just so no one remember it. Like, they just of everything, they're like, okay, let's just give Sergachev 8.5 for 8 years so no one remembers that we did this. That's what it seems like. Like, that was a terrible contract.
Yeah. I think everyone's pretty much forgotten about that. So thanks for bringing that up, Kevin.
Yeah.
I know I did as well.
Yeah, I did.
Makar money, man. Like,
yeah, that's just one of those weird contracts that you're going to look at down the road. Obviously, Sir Sergachev is a good player, but I don't know. Paying him Kale Makar money is kind of mind-boggling. So
yeah, I love Sergachev. Yeah. He's a Windsor legend. I don't want to expect it. It's just like yeah. Oh, what's that?
Not smashing him, smashing the contract.
Yeah.
Because Tampa signed it, so
yeah. I don't know. All the way on Pierre Engvall, obviously it's a tough situation for Toronto right now. They need to sign Sandin as well. And then they had Engvall now. 1 year, 2.25, I think it's whatever for a bottom six player in the Leafs sense. So this if I'm not wrong, this walks him right into free agency next year. I think it does. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I think it does.
Yeah. So in that sense, it's kind of weird, but right now I think it's whatever. So those are the RFA signings that just happened recently in the last 2 weeks, and then some of them that happened in the week that we recorded last week. So obviously there was a trade today. Obviously with the Patrick Laine extension, Columbus had to make some salary cap, play some salary cap chess a little. So they sent Oliver Bjorkstrand, Panos is a big fan of his, to Seattle for a 2023 third round pick and a 2023 fourth round pick. The third round pick belongs to Calgary, that Calgary shipped off in the Cali Yarncroke trade, and the fourth round pick belongs to Winnipeg. So I'll let you weigh on it, Panos, first, as you're the Bjorkstrand trade. I know you aren't a big fan of this trade. Let's hear it.
Yeah, no, Bjorkstrand's one of my favorite players in the NHL just because I think he's really underrated. I kind of like looked at first when I got the notification, I saw Columbus has traded a third and or Seattle has traded a third and fourth to Columbus. And I was like, oh, OK, did they get like Gustav Nyquist or something? And then I click on it and it's Oliver Bjorkstrand. And I'm like, what the hell, man? Like, what is that? So I mean, Seattle got a steal. If I was doing a trade, I would have done Seattle A+ and Columbus F. Like, I'm a big fan of Bjorkstrand. Line, and he's one of my favorite GMs just because I like him. I like that he's a European GM and he does good with draft. Usually he does good with trades for that small market. But like, what the hell was that trade? Like, just trade Nyquist instead. Like don't Branson $1 million.
Four times four. Like, what is he thinking on that?
Exactly.
Yeah, Kevin, I'll let you weigh in on that as well.
Is that one of the worst ways we've seen a team try to get rid of cap and
Recent memory, because
that is brutal. That is horrendous for Columbus. They could have, as you said, they could have traded Nyquist, or even better, not signed a third pairing D-man to a 4x4.
Yeah.
And then traded, like, I don't know, like Sean Crowley or something, whoever. Like, it's just like, what? what are they doing there?
Even a cap move and fit-wise, I don't know why Gustav Nyquist is still there instead of Oliver Bjorkstrand. Like, I know it caught all three of us off guard, but it's just like, is that really the player you want to move to create cap space, like you said, Kevin? So, I don't know. Yarmo is a good GM, but this move is just like... What is he thinking?
Yeah, at least I have good Branson for 4 years.
Paying him $4 million. He's living the dream in Columbus. 4 years, $4 million. So, yeah, that trade was mind-boggling. Obviously, Bjorkstrand goes to Seattle for a steal. Ronnie Francis working his magic. And then we forgot one thing. In the last episode, Panos called Nino Niederreiter to going to Nashville, and that actually came to fruition there.
Let me play that clip there.
The third name I mentioned, Nino Niederreiter. That's another weird name that I don't know where he's going. So let's hear it. Let's hear where Nino Niederreiter is going.
Absolutely no clue. I'm just gonna go to Nashville just because it seems like a place for Nino Niederreiter.
There you go. Called. Shots called.
Yeah, there you go, Panos. How do you feel? You wizard.
I knew it, right? I had a vision, right? So that's why.
Yeah,
with that, I think it's time to ask you some rapid fire questions. How about that?
Let's go, Panos.
So we'll give you a minute to get through these if that happens.
Yeah, I'll start the timer. We'll actually make it real.
Yeah. Yeah. So okay. Panos can only answer these in like max 1, 2, or 3 words. Like, keep him short, keep him quick. He doesn't know any of these questions, so we're kind of putting him on the spot here.
All right.
Okay. But I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, let me know when to start the time. Three.
Yeah, there you go.
Two, one, go.
Who's winning the 2022 Stanley Cup?
Fuck, Toronto.
Okay, oh, this kind of voids
Matthew
my question.
Matthew Tkachuk to the Panthers. Matthew Tkachuk to the Panthers.
He's a Panther.
Yo. Right, Matthew Tkachuk is a Panther. What?
All right, so this is my episode here because...
Are you kidding? This just throws a wrench in our whole episode. Oh my god, I have to make a post now.
What are we going to get back?
Yo, okay.
cap friendly. As you heard, Matthew Tkachuk is going to the Florida Panthers. So, Kevin, I know you just threw up a thought. Let's hear
Dude,
it.
What if we get Sam Bennett back? How fucking hilarious would that be? Do you guys have any predictions on what's coming back?
I'm just
obviously honestly, first round pick.
Oh my god, I'm just scrambling to make a post right now.
yeah, go ahead. I'll try to think of something. I think that
oh my god,
maybe we'll get like if they're targeting a top six forward, like maybe we'll get I don't know like Carter Verhaeghe back with a first round pick.
Yeah, Carter Verhaeghe works.
And like, what prospects do they even have?
Oh my god,
Denisenko.
Denisenko, maybe. Let's go with that. Denisenko, Verhaeghe, and a first is my prediction there.
They don't have a first till 2025.
Oh my! What did we trade him to?
Oh my god, man! What the? As a Flames fan, what is this?
Dude, no, it's gotta be for Sam Reinhart then. It's gotta be a or Uyghur. Well, not one for one, obviously.
Yeah, it could be Uyghur, honestly.
Not one for one, but.
Oh yeah.
It could be Uyghur or Reinhart. That's what I'm thinking here because, all right, as I mentioned early in the episode, this trade dictates the direction they're going, and it's not looking good. It is not looking good.
I'm in complete and utter shock right now that you brought up that point.
Yo, $9.5 million contract, 8 years for Tkachuk with Florida.
Oh my god.
So the equivalent of like 11 or something like that in Calgary, if you include taxes.
I honestly don't know how to feel. Good for him, but from a Flame standpoint, as Kevin mentioned, I'm skeptical as what the fuck this team's doing.
Yeah,
they have to get a good player back. Sorry for my words there, but I don't know, Kevin. I'll let you talk. I have no words right now.
Dude, like, it's gonna be like a 2025 first and like Sam Reinhart, or 2025 first and Mackenzie Uyghur, who's a UFA next year, by the way. I don't have
my phone's words. Frozen.
I don't have the words right now. But like, okay, we can talk about the fit for the Panthers though while we're waiting for the return.
This is amazing. Oh my god.
Oh, I think Thomas is making a post, eh? So
yeah, I am as well, but I'll weigh in on that. I think it's a great fit for them, obviously, with Claude Giroux out of the door. It's a great fit for them at that deal as well. So the Panthers acquiring Matthew Tkachuk, especially for that contract extension, is crazy. So he's reunited with Sam Bennett. And
for now.
For now. Oh, God. But it's an amazing fit for the Panthers, obviously.
Yeah. That's going to make the Battle of Florida fun.
Yeah.
If that's what you want to call it. Battle of Florida, I don't know.
But... yeah, I don't know how to feel yet. I need to see the return for the Flames to make any judgments on it. So, yeah, I'll let you in on that, Panos.
Well, I'm kind of just making all these posts right now, like hustling a bit, but
yeah, I'm scrambling as well.
Yeah, maybe Samoskevich might come back
I can see that. Cuz the thing is they have to compensate for not having a first till 2025. I don't think Trey Living's going to want a 2025 first.
Jonathan
Huberdeau?
Yo,
let's go.
And Mackenzie Uyghur,
bro.
Yo, I called it.
Wait. Both of them or one of them?
Our key to return with a first and a prospect.
What?
The fuck?
That is a win for the Flames all day. That if that's what the return is,
dude. What the actual fuck is it?
Obviously, it's a concern because both of them are UFA, so we're gonna be in the same situation next year. But that certainly makes the Flames so competitive right now.
Not even to like interrupt you, but I have a group chat with my cousins. They were listing it as well. They're casual Flames fans. I don't know if they're going to listen to this, but I said, if he's going to Florida, Huberto has to be a piece, and it happened. He called me stupid. One of my cousins called me stupid, but to that cousin, I want to say a big fuck you, as Jonathan Huberto was a Calgary Flame.
Jonathan Huberto is a Calgary Flame.
Is that what Friedman's saying? Is he saying key to return? Like, that's what's actually happening?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Okay,
it makes sense. It makes sense because you get Kachuk long-term with 8-year deal, but you're trading away 2 UFAs in 1 year.
Confirmed.
Huberto. Full trade.
Here we go. 5 firsts.
I don't know much about Kolschvin. I don't even, but that is unreal. What a deal for the Flames if you still want to be competitive.
Yo, I don't know what to say.
I don't know what to say because I love this return for the Flames. I love it.
Oh my God.
Dude, before this trade happened, I was like, okay, I'm mentally preparing myself for a terrible return, like a first and some shitty prospect and like some okay prospect. God. Like if you look at what RFAs in the past have gone for, they don't go for like that much. If you look at Sam Reinhart, who's not on the same tier as that's like my bar was so low that this is unreal to me. What a return.
Yeah, I'm impressed. Brad Treliving doing everything he can to save his job. Oh my God. I'm just putting a post up right now, but I'm happy with this. I'm happy with this return. I really am. Like, I'm impressed that Brad Treliving got this much for Matthew Tkachuk. Obviously, like, even Mackenzie Weegar. People might not know that Chris Tanev is going to be out for longer than November. So Mackenzie Weegar will play a huge role in that decor as it will shape up. But this is an amazing trade.
That is so sick. Dude, Weegar with Sutter? God. Oh, that's so sick. Weegar, Tanev, and Anderson on the right side?
This is amazing.
No, we're in business. We're in business, boys. The Calgary Flames are still competitive.
Panos, it's just gonna be Flames fans talking. Let's hear what you have to say.
Bro, this might be the most shocked I've ever been at a move. Like, what the fuck, man? Dude, like, this is insane. You just got Mackenzie Weegar and Jonathan Huberto.
Huberto,
0 points this year.
Oh my God.
Jonathan Huberto is a Calgary Flame. He's a UFA next year, so it might only be a Calgary Flame for 1 year. But still.
Damn. Oh my God.
Like, that's one way to still be competitive. And I think one thing we forget is Paul Maurice is a coach of Florida. So how will Tkachuk do under Paul Maurice? That will be fun. I think this is That's insane. Like, what just happened?
This is amazing from a Flame standpoint, and you can't even forget the Panther standpoint. But even then, you lose Jonathan. I thought they were going to keep Jonathan Huberto as well. Like, but oh my God,
dude, Weegar and Tanev shutting down, like trying to shut down McDavid. I think that'll bode pretty like decently okay. Like, I think it's just such a great move. It fits exactly what even. Like, I didn't expect to get that much back. I'm in shock. God.
I just want to give a huge thank you to Bill Zito. Huge salutes to you. Thanks for the trade. But even just looking at the Flames Twitter and just hockey Twitter reaction in general, this is goddamn amazing. Like, this is actually a league shifting trade as well. Like, my God. I have no words, as you can probably just tell from that. It interrupted our 1 minute rapid fire question with Panos. So we'll have to get back to that.
Yeah, this will be on. but there's a lot to talk
about. Yeah, this is amazing right now. NHL free agency, you just don't know. This is why recording a podcast amidst of this. this and is amazing.
We were talking about at the start of the episode, we were talking about how Calgary might squeak in a second wild card. That kind of changes everything now, because
that just changes everything.
It does.
The Pacific is going to be I don't even know what to say. The Pacific is going to be fun to watch.
Honestly, Huberto, has been better than Goudreau over the last couple of years. Like, this season, Goudreau is better, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, over the last couple of years, Huberto has been, like, putting up 90 points, 100 points.
While Goudreau, this is...
So, yeah, like... replace
him. Sorry, I just want to add that Huberto is signed this year 5.9 mil. Uyghur is 3.25 mil. If they still want to add some pieces...
They can add not
they Kadri can.
As well.
They can add Kadri.
Oh my!
They can if they want to.
Yeah. That's this. Like, just thinking of that.
This is a game changer.
This truly is.
I don't know what to say.
Oh my god! Like, this has me absolutely mind boggled. Just thinking of that Kadri thing as well. Like, I just think the Flames aren't done. Like, after this trade, it just proves that the Flames are not done.
Yeah.
We're in business, boys. Let's go. Let's go.
I forget, you guys. You've been living through mediocrity forever, eh? So I'm happy for you guys. Some good players there.
Kevin, we sounded all doom and gloom at the start. Just
right now
we're all happy.
The tables have completely turned. God. And
like, this is amazing.
Who's going to be the playmaker with Tkachuk, though? Because now I'm kind of confused on his fit now.
Yeah, I have no clue why Florida did that, to be completely
honest.
This is a weird fit. This is amazing.
Panos, you like to give trades grades. This is obviously very early, but what would you give?
Early impressions.
Yeah, I would very give it early. An A for Calgary, even though Huberto and Uyghur are pending it's for next year. You guys are trying to win now. You have Daryl Sutter for a year or two, right? So you're trying to win now. That's a really good trade to win now. I think you guys got better with this trade by a long shot. And I think your lineup right now is better than it was last season, if I'm being completely honest. Like, I don't know if that's kind of bold to say, but I don't know. I like that trade. And for Florida, I'm not going to give it a bad rate. They still got Matthew Tkachuk.
Yeah, obviously.
Points. Sure. I would give it like a B+ still, but I think Calgary won this trade just because they got
that's
insane pieces.
Yeah, this is actually amazing. Like even now, like, you brought up the Kadri thing. it's actually ideal for the Flames. Like, if they sign Kadri, Lindholm, Kadri down the middle, Backlund as a 3C, oh my god.
I'm gonna fucking cry, dude. Jonathan Huberto and Mackenzie Uyghur are Flames. Oh my god.
Like, this, I love this.
Okay. So I think we should move on now before the episode gets too long here.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I mean, this is just this is league breaking.
Yeah, it is.
This is amazing.
And we gave up a conditional fourth. Oh man.
In 2025. Oh.
I'm just kidding. Let's move on back to the questions.
As you heard the live trade reaction from all three of us, it's crazy. Matthew Tkachuk to the Florida Panthers. So we cut off a segment just for this, and now we'll finish the episode off with that. It's the 1 minute rapid fire questions for Panos. So we'll have another take at it. So 3, 2, 1, the minute starts now.
All right. Who's winning the 2022 Stanley Cup?
Toronto.
It throws a wrench in my first question. Will the Leafs make it past the first round?
They will.
How many goals will Anze Kopitar score next year?
Oh, come on. Like 20.
Oh, okay. Will Patrick Laine actually score over 35 plus goals?
He will.
How many hits will Radko Gudas have this year?
Like 300.
When will Gary Bettman retire and name you as his replacement?
Hopefully next offseason.
How many assists will Gerald Mayhew get in 2022-23?
Oh, what the hell? Like 12.
Why do you hate Winnipeg so much? This question's for Carter.
Because Carter lives there.
When are the Flames winning their next Stanley Cup?
2020. I don't know. 1500 years. I don't know.
Okay, that's the 1 minute challenge right there.
I did it. That's cool.
There you go. Panos answering next some weird questions in 1 minute. We'll prepare better questions for the next one. I think we're gonna keep this as a segment. We'll keep
you picked it for yourself, dude.
But yeah, we'll keep this as a segment for the next couple of episodes. We'll do it with some guests as well. And just brings it back to that. Thank you guys for another episode. Crazy one. Threw a wrench in everything with the Matthew Tkachuk trade. We will be bringing on some guests as of the next episode, so stay tuned for that. What do you gents have to say on the Matthew Tkachuk trade? And let's get one last thought.
People are tired of hearing my voice, so I'm done. My thoughts are done. Let's go, Panos.
Yeah, definitely an interesting trade. Probably one of the most fun since I became a fan. And, you know, it's kind of cool that we got it while we were recording, too, just the reaction.
Yeah, Panos, I'll let you end it off again.
Yeah, so we'll see you guys in the next one. And, you know, hopefully it's not as long as this one is because of the Tkachuk trade.